Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Hi, I'm Justine. So I'm going to read the scripture reading. It's taken from Luke 2, verses 1 to 20, and this is the NLT version. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby, lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Justine. As I was reflecting on this weekend coming up to Christmas, I came across a quote by a gentleman named Ronald Rollhauser, something like that. I should have listened to the pronunciation of his last name. So now that I've totally derailed, please pay attention to his quote. He said this: "If you put a powerfully muscled athlete, the CEO of a powerful oil or tech company, a playground bully, an Academy Award-winning movie star, and a baby in the same room, who has the power?" Ultimately, it's the baby, he says. At the end of the day, the baby's helplessness overpowers physical muscle, economic muscle, and charismatic muscle. Babies cleanse a room's morality, and they do exorcisms. Even the most callous watch their language around a baby. When I thought about that and was reading that, I'm like, there is probably no better perspective on the reality of what Paul told the church in Philippians when he starts in Philippians chapter 2, talking about the great lengths that God did to become with us and what all God gave up, because God had everything powerful, but yet his way of entering into the world was a baby. And that's brilliant, because a baby cuts through everything. There's been times, even on some Sundays, I know a few of you have been around long enough to remember the Sunday that I sat up here on a stool and held baby Isley in my arms for my entire teaching. And she had fallen asleep in my lap while Blake and Olivia were leading worship, and I decided not to give her back after worship was over. And I just said, "I got her," and I came up here and I gave the entire sermon with a whisper voice because I didn't want to wake the baby. But it was probably the most attentive audience that we've ever had in our church, even though nobody remembers what I said, but baby Isley held the entire church captive. Because we are actually here tonight, no matter what our motivation in coming, is we're here because a baby changed the world. We're here because a baby has the power to overcome any structure. A baby had the power to change my life, and I believe a baby had a power to change yours. God rushed into the world in this Luke 2 story at a time when one of the world's superpowers in human history was in control of the world at that present time. Rome was probably one of the most dominant empires ever to have control of the earth, and God showed up and totally changed the course of human history during one of those superpowers, and he didn't come as a warrior champion. He didn't come as a Zeus or what's Zeus's son's name? What was it? Hercules. Sorry, I don't know why I didn't think of that. I look in the mirror and I see Hercules, right? Right? I'm just joking. Yeah. My mom's the only one watching online. Like, what's everybody laughing at? But God rushed into the world during one of the greatest superpowers, and the weak overcame the strong. He has given us the ability in our weakness to be strong. That's what this Christmas weekend is about. It's like God gave us the ability to actually go down into the death, but yet to come up alive. Like, that's what God gave us in this child. The story of Jesus coming in a manger is a story that the church has been telling for over 2,000 years. The problem is we've been telling the story for over 2,000 years, and it's become animated so that it's told even on television. Now, Justine did a great job, but Linus reads the Christmas story better than anybody ever read the Christmas story. It's like on Christmas Eve, like nobody's like, avoid Ellis. You don't want him to ask you to read the Christmas story, right? Because here's the problem is it's so familiar to us that we lose the fact that it is a powerful story. Because it is the beginning story that gives all of us life. And it's a story that we can't top. We should never stop sharing it. Like, as Christmas rolls around, we should be super enthusiastic. I don't know if there's a way to make enthusiasm more than enthusiasm, but there should be something in us when it comes around to hearing this birth story that the angels don't lose their power. The shepherds don't lose their influence. The way that we meet Mary and Joseph in the story and how Mary finds comfort with Elizabeth and Zechariah falls silent. Like, all of these things should continue, no matter if we've heard them, like for myself, 49 times. And some of you have heard it more, some of you have heard it much less, but we've heard this story so much, it should not lose its impact on us. And as a gallery church, we've looked forward to Christmas Eve services or Eve service, how many Eves this is before Christmas. We've looked forward to this now, and we've done this now 14 straight years. Because even though we live in an environment where a lot of you go and see family, we need to meet around this story. We need to tell this story because it's in this story that everything began. It's in this story that we get to know the greatest love of all. It's like even in the last song that whether Harry Connick Jr. or somebody else was the original writer of it, we need to pray on Christmas. We need Christmas to be more than 12 days. We don't need Christmas to end on January the 6th. We need Christmas to go all the way through the calendar of 2023. We need healing in areas of sickness. We need encouragement in areas of depression and all of the weights that are happening. And it's in a baby that all of those things are set loose. This story starts with a teen mother. Can you, like, there are just some parts of this story that I just shake my head. Like, if we really thought about it, it's very likely that this was an extremely young woman. And if we read the story correctly, her husband, Joseph, may have been somewhere in the 19 or early 20s. And she's delivering a baby with a teenage man, no midwife, No hospital, no nurses. Imagine the trauma that Mary's going through on this night as a teen mom giving birth in a barn. We call it a manger. I mean, just think, like right now, like many of you have given birth, and you've given birth in a Craftmatic adjustable bed, right? And multiple caretakers and an epidural. Like, there's just a lot of things that we've been able to have that have allowed that process. But this Mary went into this night by herself, and at best she had a teen or a young adult dad, which we know that that amounts to nothing, right? I mean, his cognitive brain probably wasn't even fully developed yet. So what kind of help could Joseph really have been, right? And we don't hear much about Joseph left, so Mary may have killed him that night. I don't know. All right, so the shepherds are now entering this story, and they're in a field, and they're watching over flocks. And I love the fact that the shepherds are included, because shepherds very likely were, if we go back through Scripture, the animals in the family that the runt of the family was taking care of. Like, go back to the story of David being chosen for king. They're like, okay, let's look at all your brothers. Nope, you're not going to be the king. 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 Is there another son? Oh, yeah, but David, he's out with the sheep. He's the one. So it's very likely that these shepherds in the family were out at night because they weren't the ones that the rest of the family were super excited about hanging out with. Or they were the ones that, okay, you know, you go do it. No, you go do it. No, you. And then there's nobody for you to turn to and say, you go do it. So you're the one that has to go do it. How lowly were these shepherds, potentially? And how much emphasis and notice had they received from the rest of culture? But yet the angels appeared to them. The angels appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And could this not be an under-emphasized statement? They were terrified. I mean, I don't care how many years we've heard this story. I guarantee you, you probably have never heard a sermon on the word terrified. But they were, in the King James, which I love it, sore afraid. You know, it's like, so if the word terrified could be made worse, it's like so there's so much into this story, and I want us to be able to relate to this in the fact that this baby comes into a world that you and I can identify with. Because I believe that there is a good news of great joy for all of you. And some of you in this room, it's Christmas or Easter that generally draws you into church. It's the rest of the year where it's hard for us to want to have the enthusiasm to be a part of a church family, because can I just tell you guys, we have a way of hurting one another, harming one another, letting each other down. And even people in my position as a pastor have stood up in front of people and harmed people. And so why would I want to get to know Jesus with a bunch of people that I know need Jesus? But here's the thing. I love the fact that God's grace and love and forgiveness is there. And what better opportunity than for us to continue to pursue Jesus together? And trying to figure it out, trying to understand that a baby changed the world, so let me let this baby change me so that I can be a part of changing the world. There's a part of that in there for us. And so here's a couple of things that I want to draw our attention to. And I'm praying, my prayer in my spirit tonight is, Lord, let us see this story afresh. Let our ears hear this story afresh. Let it be new. Let it wash over. Let it heal our hurts. Let it heal our brokenness, because there is a greater story at risk. And every year, there are essentials that we need to focus on. When I was a kid growing up, and Mom, you can stop watching right now. When I was a kid growing up, I knew that some of my Christmas presents were going to be essentials. Do you know what they were? Socks and underwear. Like, I'm sure as a kid for a while, I was happy to open up, and they weren't cool underwear, all right? Like, they were not underwear like that. Like, they were tighty-whities like the guy that plays the guitar in Times Square wears, right? They were the old-fashioned tighty-whities with the white socks that come up to the knees and have three bars that are either blue, red, or green, right? Like, some of you might actually have them still. But like, there was a part of Christmas where part of what I was unwrapping were just my essentials. And they were gifts, something extra to unwrap, but they were things that I needed, so Christmas was a time to get those items. And some of us still give essential gifts at Christmas. But here's the thing. Christmas is a great time for us to go back to what is the essentials of our faith. All right, we need this time. It needs to be a part of our time. The other thing is in this story is that you discover that you will not be satisfied. You will not have peace until you and I reconcile Jesus. He is the only bringer of peace. If you look for peace in any other thing, a circumstance, a dollar bill, a job, a house, political parties, if you look for peace in anything, you're going to be disappointed unless you and I find it in Jesus Christ. These angels were announcing that peace had come into the world through this child, and that was the only way peace was going to come into the world. And this story reminds us that our only avenue to understand true peace is in Jesus. And for those of you that have been hurt in church, can I tell you why we hurt each other in church? Is because in church we let our guard down and we do not allow Jesus to teach us what pure love really is. Pure love can only be found in a group of people that are following after Jesus Christ. And the issue is we get into church, we let the world come in with us, and we love each other like the world does, and so then we come into an environment like this, and we hurt one another because the world's love is a taking love and not a generous one. And Jesus set an example for what love really looks like. And we as a church cannot afford to only have one service a year where we focus on the great love of God. We need a rhythm of getting together regularly to be able to look at one another in the face and say, how would Jesus love you? And I want to love you that way. I don't want to love you the way that my sinful desires would make me want to love you. I want to love you with a pure-hearted love of Jesus Christ. And the Christmas story reminds us that we must keep our eyes on Jesus. Jesus also became vulnerable so that I believe you and I can overcome our vulnerabilities. There is no more vulnerable human being on the planet than a newborn child. It can do absolutely nothing for itself. And so can I just tell us as a church family and as friends tonight, you and I can find a God that can relate to our vulnerability. He knows what it is like to be 100% dependent upon somebody else. And can I just tell you guys this? The only way we overcome our vulnerability is by identifying with Jesus Christ because he's the one that gives us our strength. And he's the one that can help us get through any of that. We can become safe and secure because of the baby that was introduced in this story. And can I just tell you, Jesus wasn't just vulnerable as a baby. He had a teen mom. And some of you ladies are like, yeah, so what's the problem with that? I'm like, there's not a problem. But guys, let me just tell you, she was a teen mother, right? This is crazy. Could he not have been more exposed? Going into his first days and weeks of his life in a hostile country where Rome was constantly looking, and then even by the time he was two and the Magi show up, now he has a king wanting to kill him, and other families were losing their children because of Jesus. Like, there is a vulnerability to our Lord and Savior that can identify with you and I in all the places that we feel vulnerable. And can I also tell you this, and this is my last thing before we're going to start moving towards our candles. Jesus knows the forgotten. So whether you are here and it's church hurt, or whether you're here and it's just life hurt, God has a way of seeing people that feel forgotten. That's why I want to come back to the shepherds. I want to come back to Mary and Joseph, because even the religious leaders that were looking for a way to discredit Jesus actually said out of their mouth, "What good comes from the Galilee?" Do you guys understand? That was a racially charged, prejudiced statement. Of those people in the Galilee are probably like one step above somebody that lacks an address. Like there was a poverty to the family that Jesus came into that other people would have looked at them like, oh, they are here. And can I just say to all of us, I don't care whether you've been affluent all your life or you've had nothing in your life, we all go through a period of time where we just don't feel seen. And Christmas is our reminder that whether you grew up with a silver spoon or you grew up with no spoon, God sees you. He loves you. And he does play favorites. He loves people that are poor. He loves people that have nothing, that are lacking many of the things that other people have. He is bent towards the vulnerable. And in this story, I love the fact that the announcement didn't come to the religious leaders. The announcement didn't come to the wealthy class. The announcement came to shepherds who were left in a field to keep watch over sheep at night while everybody else was resting. And this story is a reminder to you and I that God always is looking out for people. And I just want to remind us tonight that there might be human beings that have overlooked you, but God has never overlooked you. He might have a reputation for not being loving or not being just in certain people's eyes, but it's not because he's ever been those things to you. The church may have been those things to you. Humans may have been those things to you, but God has never been that to us. He's always functioned in that purity. And so, the craziest thing ever that happens in church is a pastor passing out real candles to people that have children in the room and other people that have hairspray in their hair and all of these things. And so some of you were able to grab your candles. If some of you wouldn't mind helping make sure that everybody does. But while the band is getting ready to reposition themselves at their instruments, we're going to join into what is normally a tradition in a lot of churches in Christmas Eve, which is a candle lighting. And I know that with the activity in the room, it might be a little bit harder for us to focus on this. And I'm going to ask parents, if you'll just make sure that if your child has one, that your eyes never leave their candle. And also, just as a reminder, too, that the candle's meant to be held straight up and not sideways. It really is cool to watch it burn, but yet we don't want to have to use an iron to pull the wax out of the carpet later. So if you could keep that candle straight up and down and away from somebody's hair, that would be fantastic. I do think that this is the one activity that is not covered in our insurance policy, so please, let's make sure that we do this. But part of the great announcement and the reminder of Jesus is that he was a light that came into darkness. And we have the room a little bit more dimly lit than we normally do because we want the light to spread and for the candles to help illuminate across the room. But this is a chance for two things to happen, okay? And stay with me. The two things that need to happen is you need to be reminded that Jesus's light came into your darkness. But we as a people must become better at carrying his light into other people's darkness. Not our opinions, not our personalities, but Jesus himself. And so the activity tonight is I'm going to ask a couple of people in the front row just to come and light their candle off of this and then for us to pass it. So it is a reminder that his light has come. But it's also a responsibility for us to carry that light into other places. And so we're going to stand through the song, if possible, together, and we're going to pass this light around. And so the guys are going to play, and we're going to make it instrumental for a moment because we want there to be a powerful moment of a pause as we carry this light. And then we're going to join into singing this song together. And at the end of it, we will extinguish our light before we go into the next few songs. But let me pray. Father, we need to remember Christmas. We need to remember the first one. We need to remember that you loved us so much that you became incredibly vulnerable so that you could save us from the things that were making us vulnerable. Father, thank you for bringing life. Thank you for bringing light into our world. And Father, we don't want to continue to be instruments of darkness. We want to be instruments of your light. And so, Father, as we do this simple activity, we make it as an act of thankfulness. Thank you for sending your light into our lives. But we also say, would you help us to be people every day that carry your light to others? And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only He can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.